Good afternoon, brethren. Welcome to a beautiful Sabbath day. Certainly, we have some nice weather out there today. Had 3.2 inches of much-needed rain in the rain gauge, but since we have all this beautiful weather God has prepared for us, we can enjoy this beautiful day. I want to speak on a subject today that everyone has heard many times. You have heard many sermons on it. You have talked about it many times, and hopefully you have meditated on a lot of it at certain times. You're wondering why that I picked this, because I hope I can cover some things in this sermon that you haven't thought about before. I'm going to talk about faith. Everybody knows about faith. It's a common topic that we've all discussed many times during our lifetime. So we want to go through some things about faith today. Hopefully that you will, have some different thoughts about faith and trying to enhance and have more faith. But, faith and hope goes hand in hand. And if you watch the news over in the Middle East, and you see all of those people that are fleeing those cities, and they are leaving without hope because they don't know where they're going. They have no idea what the end of their journey is going to be. And I saw a sad thing a couple of evenings ago as I watched the news, and a helicopter had flown in to pick up a group of people, and they were just, pushing and trying to get on to that helicopter because that meant that gave them some hope of assurance of moving out from that situation. And it was so sad to see the door close. And not everybody could get on. There was sad in those people's eyes because, we upon the face of this earth, brethren, are most blessed than any nation on the earth because we do have, and those that God has called, do have hope. And many people don't have that hope. We are blessed. What are we going to do with the information that God gives us in His Holy Word? And we listen to sermons and sermons on the Sabbath. What are we going to do with that information? Are we going to enhance it and cause it to be a part of our life that we can grow in faith? I hope so. Faith in God and His guidance through the Holy Spirit will sustain you in this increasingly more challenging world that we live in. And it's coming a time. You may not believe what I'm going to say today, but I hope you will. But I'm going to try to speak out of the Word of God. But it's coming a time when faith is going to play a big, important part of your life. And if we don't have it, brethren, I'm just being straightforward. If we don't have it, we are going to suffer in a lot of ways. And you remember the scripture that says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God said this. I did not say it, but He said it is impossible. So it shows the importance of faith. Now, as you can see, the world conditions as they are, it's very plain to see that the last days we're living in and the return of Jesus Christ is, very near. Who does not need assurance of faith? I think everybody needs assurance of faith. And by the help of God, we must, as never before, brethren, forget to try with all of our beings to build a solid foundation of faith. Sustaining faith is centered in the trust in God and His willingness to answer our prayers. The scriptures show that God does bless and prosper those who put their trust in Him. And when it comes to faith and trust in God, it goes beyond our ability to comprehend how much God is involved in working with each one of us to build the faith that is needed. Now, we sometimes think, well, why did, you know, I have this little trial and why these things are happening to me? But, you know, God is working with us as these things come about in our life to build faith. It takes trials. It takes tests because we're human and we make a lot of mistakes. But it takes these things, and God knows about it. It takes these things, you know, to get us to see where we are physically and how much we need God. And that's why God allows. He could prevent everything. We could sail through this life without any trials if He so desired. But what would we learn? It's the little things that we build up on daily that enhances our faith. Now, the sermon title today is Trusting in God Through Faith. Trusting in God Through Faith. That's easy to say how much we trust in God and how much faith we have in Him and that He's going to fulfill the promises that He made to us. In the area of faith and trust, it's easy for us as humans to limit God in certain ways. We shouldn't do that, but I know that that happens. And for some, faith is not understood and consequently not used to full advantage. Faith is not some type of illusion or some magnetic thing that we can use where we push a button and things will happen. That's not the way faith works. True lasting faith must be built. It's something that is built on a daily practice. We must build through trust and we must build through patience. The writer of Hebrews was inspired to write in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 in the faith chapter. Now it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith means that we are certain of the things we hope for and convinced of the things we do not see. Verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So the writer of Hebrews tells us that faith is a hope that is absolutely certain, that what it believes is true and that what it expects will come. So Apostle Paul was inspired to write to the Philippians in Philippi concerning their faith. So in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, this is the statement that Apostle Paul made to the church in Philippi. He said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, brethren, this is a very sobering statement. There was no doubt in Paul's mind as to what he could accomplish through Christ. And Paul's faith in Christ let him know without any reservation that he could do all things through Him. So the question comes to us today as we ourselves, could ask this question, each one of us: how strong is my faith? How strong is my faith? You know, Christ wants our faith to be strong in Him, but how do we build strong faith? Well, the Scriptures tell us, again, Apostle Paul writes the answer, gives us the answer, inspired by God, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. In verse 17 of Romans chapter 10, Apostle Paul writes this: so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we know that we also have a scripture where it says, fail not to assemble yourselves together. So we have two parts here in this one verse where it tells us where faith, how we can enhance faith. And it comes by the word of God. So, hearing. So if you're going to hear, then you have to, it means that you come, assemble yourselves together. Sabbath day, God has made the Sabbath for us to do that. So it's important for everybody to be listening to the word of God on the Sabbath, fellowshipping on the Sabbath. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith will forge strength of character available to you in times of urgent need. Such character is not developed, brethren, in moments of great trials and tests, temptation. But with the help of God, we can develop the kind of faith and character that God is pleased with. So God uses our faith to mold our character. The book of James, if you will turn there. The book of James, chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now you ask yourselves, well, how can I rejoice and have joy when I'm having a trial? Well, verse 3 says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So there is an enhancement there that goes along with faith. Verse 4 said, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, liking nothing. And if any of you likes wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So character is woven patiently from threads of principle, doctrine, and obedience. The foundation of character is integrity. And the good news is, brethren, worthy character will strengthen our capacity of obedience and response to directions of the Holy Spirit. So righteous character is what we are becoming. This is what we're becoming. And it's important that we keep in mind that there is only one thing, just one thing that we can carry from this life into the kingdom of God. Just one thing. And that one thing is your character. Your character will follow you into the kingdom of God. So it is through the love and faithfulness of God that we are called into the fellowship with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll read this in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. So God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So God blesses us in so many ways, brethren, that we can never, you know, count, never could be numbered. And many blessings that come our way through and by faith. So let's notice a few scriptures about faith and how important it is in having faith. After all, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 6 says, as I mentioned before, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So there are rewards for having faith. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, speaking to his disciples, Christ shows them what would happen if they have deep, convicting faith. Matthew chapter 21, begin in verse 21. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done." Verse 22, "And whoever and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." So it shows here that, you know, there shouldn't be any doubt when we come before God. There should be any doubt. Now, God has also a way of teaching us to have patience. So if we ask for something in our prayers, we may have to wait for a while before he answers those. So also let's notice Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, "For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible for you." Now, these disciples at this time had some problems in casting out demons or whatever, but Christ is just plainly telling them the reason why. There are rewards for keeping the faith. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, a statement I hope that Christ can say to all of us at the end of our term in this life, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." In verse 8, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also all who have loved his appearing." And we read in also Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, begin reading in verse 8, Revelation chapter 2. "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So, do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer, indeed. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So Christ is the first and the last in the Old Testament. That is the title belonging to God. But in Isaiah chapter 44, we see this in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. So this is a foundation, knowing that, you know, God is in charge. God has all power. Besides him, there is no one else. So we know that the church at Smyrna was at the time of experiencing and a lot of difficulties. God's message to them was to keep the faith, be loyal to the end, and they will receive a crown of life. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in verse 3, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though you now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being made much more precious than the gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, who having not seen you, love though now you do see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So for the Christian, brethren, Peter is saying here all of these things that we can depend upon. And also for the Christian, there is a secret endurance. As God's people, our faith can help us to endure anything. And there are three main reasons why we, as God's called out ones, can endure the trials of life that may come upon us. Now, we see a lot, read a lot, hear about people being depressed, and some of our people that we know of in the past has taken their lives and, you know, committed suicide. But, you know, this is not for God's people, because we have hope, we have faith. So we have three things here. Number one, God's people can stand the test of time because of what they are able to look forward to. So we have the kingdom of God to look forward to. It's not the world that wanders around out there in darkness that has no hope. We have hope. We have assurance. So this enhances our faith just to meditate on these things. And at the end, we keep the faith. There is for us the magnificent inheritance in the kingdom of God. And as we said, the world just does not have this information. For the Christian's persecution and trouble, it's not the end for us. Beyond lies the glory, and in hope of that glory being molded in our faith, we can endure the test and trials that comes our way. And number two, God's people can stand the test of time because they can remember that every trial is a trial, and if it's a test, it is building our character. So as Paul said, you know, we can rejoice in these things because it is enhancing our faith. And when it's all over, we emerged from these trials and tests much more stronger than we were before. 1 Peter chapter 4. Please notice that. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So it just shows you the trail of what love can do and how it can enhance our feelings and faith towards one another. Number three, God's people can stand anything because at the end of the trial, when Jesus Christ returns, they will receive from him a precious honor that he will bestow upon them. Let's notice this in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 23. His Lord said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Encouraging words, brother. Again and again in this life, when we do our best and make our biggest efforts to do our best work, and not put off things, you know, God blesses us for that. And we are doing the things, and when we are doing the things that are pleasing to God, he will bless us for that. So when we use the recipe of endurance, we are strengthening our faith. And when life is hard and faith is difficult, we can stand up to things because of the greatness to which we can look forward to, because every trial is another test to strengthen and purify our faith. So as a Christian, when we must face trials and tests, we must also try to understand the purpose of the trial and the test. Sometimes God will allow certain things to take place in our life to teach us certain lessons. But that's not that God doesn't love us. It is for the purpose of his will. And this is where our faith in God must be strong. Through adversities of life, our faith can be made strong. Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We begin reading in verse 12. Philippians chapter 1. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So Paul here is just going to cover a few things that happened to him while he was in prison. And he is saying that though his inconvenience and him being in prison was actually a blessing to furtherance of the gospel. Verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, we must remember that the church went through a lot of persecution. And at certain times, when you let it be known who you were persecuted for that. Sometimes even death occurred. But what Paul is saying, you know, the brethren has become, more in the way of bravery. Since he has been in chains, in prison, they're speaking out now. Because, they can see that Paul is not in a way of being afraid, even though he is in chains. The word is getting around even in the prison. Verse 14. And most of the brethren of the Lord, having become confident in my chains, are much more bold, speak the word without fear. So they can speak the word without fear, the ones that are outside. So indeed, preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from a selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers, your prayer, and this supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So Paul was a prisoner. At that time, he wrote this letter to the church in Philippi. It wasn't a joyous thing to suffer as a prisoner, as you can imagine. But notice how he took this disadvantage to deal with the opportunity he had to spread the good news of the kingdom of God. So in verse 12, he said these things that happened to him turn out for the furtherance of the gospel. And even with the palace guards, they were able to see, Christ in him. Paul did not know for certain whether his imprisonment would end in death or whether or not he would be released. But either possibility did not deter him from promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. So to the Philippians, in chapter 1 and verse 20, said, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. So he wasn't ashamed of that. Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. In verse 21, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my body. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, verse 24, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. So, Paul wasn't dreading death at all. But to be spared, he could further the gospel and to help the brethren that he was ministering to. We don't know. We don't know what things went through Paul's mind while he was in prison. But one thing we do know, that his faith was real. He preached the gospel. He taught prisoners and slaves and guards and soldiers, governors while he was in there, and even a king. He taught them. But of course, not all of those were convinced, only a few. But the gospel was preached. So adversities that come our way in life can and will strengthen us if we have faith. We can turn our burdens into bridges. We simply do not have all the answers, brethren, of all the different dilemmas that comes upon us in this life, day by day, and the things that are happening to us. But by faith, we can face them, as Paul did, and be confident that God is there to help us. One thing to keep in mind, brethren, the world never adjusts itself, will never be able to adjust itself completely to suit our preferences. Some things in life will not always be the right thing at that moment to happen to us. But as we said, you know, we may think it's not fair, but God knows what is best for us. And it fits into God's plans. We go through life sometimes. It's easy, as I said earlier, to limit God in certain ways. We see the world we live in and all the things that are taking place around us. And we see the end time fast approaching. And we see the small congregations that is a part of United. And we ponder. And we wondered about these, and we asked ourselves, can God finish the work with the small congregation? And my answer to you is absolutely a yes. Christ will set up his kingdom. Christ will finish the work, no matter how small the number may be. It's easy to place numbers when we think like this. It's easy to place numbers. But the point here is to remember that God does not deal with large numbers to complete the work. Surely God loves to see all, you know, stay and be encouraged and pray and to work to complete the tasks and the assignments that have been given to him. But God can use and will use, and he does use and using now small numbers. It doesn't have to be a 6,000 congregation to do the work. Let's notice an example here. And there again, we go back to the, I want you to think about this when we go through this very quickly. The odds, when we see odds, when we think about our faith, we see the odds that seems impossible for God to do certain things. But he will do them because he's all powerful. From the book of Judges, please turn to the book of Judges, we find that Gideon was the fifth judge of Israel. He played a small but important role in the history of God's people. And Gideon lived during a time when Israel had forsaken God and had worshipped idols. The nation had abandoned its true creator, much like our nation has today. God had withdrawn his blessings and protection from them, and the nation was suffering. So God would use Gideon to defeat the powerful army of the Midianites. So let's pick up the story in Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. Begin reading in verse 2. Judges chapter 7 and verse 2. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my hand has saved me. Now, therefore, I proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, so he wanted Gideon to say this so the whole army of Gideon could listen to what God is saying. Continuing, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people return, and 10,000 remain. So Gideon had an army of 32,000 soldiers. So here, Gideon gave them the opportunity. If you are shaking in your boots and you're afraid to go up against the Midianites, then God says, you know, you can just leave and go back to your tents. So 22,000 of the people returned. They left. But the Lord said to Gideon in verse 4, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. I will test them for you there. Then it will be that if whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, and the same shall go with you. And whoever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees who drank water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. So there, we see Gideon went from being outnumbered 4-1 to being outnumbered now to 12-1. Now, I asked, it looks like an impossible situation. And that's what we were talking about, faith. An impossible situation. Here, Gideon has lost all of these men. And he's down to 300 out of 32,000. What would you do? Would you go up against a huge number, this mighty army, with just 300 men? Where is our faith? And this is what Gideon's faith was. You know, he went with what God had gave him. He kept the faith, and he went up against the Midianites, and he won the battle. So what is the lesson? What is the lesson from Gideon? First of all, God does not depend on large numbers of people to accomplish his goals. And God has often demonstrated the power by taking a few and accomplishing his purpose. We have to remember what Christ said in Luke chapter 12, verse 31 through 32. It says, but seek the kingdom of God and all of these righteous and these things. But let me read this again. But seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. So do not fear, little flock. So we are determined here to look at ourselves then as a little flock. We're characterized as a little flock. In verse 32 says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So Gideon had the faith needed to put his trust in God and not in numbers. So we cannot in any situation, brethren, deliver ourselves. It is through the power of God. Faith will drive away fear. And we know that this is what Gideon had. So briefly, I want to cover One more situation here that seems impossible. Please turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Begin reading in verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, who was Elijah, saying, verse 9, arise and go to Sepheth, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So this is a time of a drought. It's a bad time of drought in the land. There was no food, and people were starving. So he arose and went to Zephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, verse 12, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, and we may eat it and die. So she expected after this last meal, she didn't have anything else to eat. She expected, this was in her mind, that she was going to die, her and her son. But notice what Elijah said. And the Lord said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. Here again, faith has to be involved. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, verse 14, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord, the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. Verse 16, the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Faith, brethren, faith. There she depended on God to sustain her. And it happened. Even in our weakest moments in life, God always, he's always there to help us. For her was her last meal before death would come. But she obeyed the words of God through Elijah, God's prophet. She obeyed his sayings, and she lived. So again, I ask the question, how strong is your faith? God is depending on us, those he has called, to enhance our faith, to build a strong foundation of faith. As I said in the beginning, the time is coming very soon when faith is going to depend on our going forward. We cannot let down. We must build faith. Faith is the substance of all things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen.